If you have your Bible with you this morning, go ahead and open up to Zechariah chapter 8. The title of this morning's message is Restored and Redeemed Community. And I think what we find here in Zechariah 8 in regards to God's promise to his people coming out of captivity, we discover principles of God's blessing that are just as applicable today to the local church and to greater community as well. We can apply these truths to where we are here as Pioneer Baptist Church. We can apply these truths to our greater community of Harrodsburg and Mercer County, because I think the principles behind God's blessing of this restored and redeemed community still hold true today. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 1. And the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I am jealous for her with great wrath. Thus says the Lord, I have returned to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called the faithful city, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with staff in hand because of a great age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the sight of the remnant of this people in those days, should it also be marvelous in my sight, declares the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them to dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in faithfulness and righteousness. Thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, you who in these days have been hearing these words from the mouth of the prophets, who are present on the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For behold, for those days there was no wage for man or any wage for beast, neither was there any safety from foe for him who went out or came in. For I set every man against his neighbor. But now I will not deal with the remnant of this people as in the former days, declares the Lord of hosts. For there shall be a sowing of peace. The vine shall give its fruit, and the ground shall give its produce, and the heavens shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And as you have been a byword of cursing among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus says the Lord of hosts, as I proposed to bring disaster to you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, and I did not relent, says the Lord of hosts. So again, I have proposed to in these days to bring good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear not, these are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. Do not despise evil in your heart. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another, and love no false oaths, for all these things I hate, declares the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah seasons of joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore love truth and peace. Thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come, even the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I myself am going. Many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, as we study these promises to your people coming out of a period of confusion, a period of disappointment, a period of darkness, where you have promised them truth and peace. You've promised them restoration. May we look and understand the principles as they apply to us as your people today, of what it means for us to be a community of believers who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, who have been restored in right relationship both to you and to one another. And may those in the hearing of this word who have not been brought into right relationship with you find the salvation that is found only in Christ. For this we pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. So Zechariah is giving the words of the Lord to a people who have known great hardship, great sorrow, great loss. These are people that have come back to the promised land after a period of 70 years where so much has been lost. Going into captivity, they've lost the lands of their fathers. The homes that their ancestors had lived in had been destroyed. The walls of Jerusalem had been torn down. They have come back to a community that is in disarray. They have come back into a community that is not safe. At this point, the walls of Jerusalem still have not been built up. There has been a great feeling, when you read Ezra and Nehemiah, you realize that there is a great feeling of unsafety because the enemies of the people of the Lord outside are constantly threatening them. It's such that when they do finally rebuild the walls of the city, they have to do it with sword and one at their side and a trowel in their hand, ready to fight back the attackers. And those that have come back from captivity only encompass a narrow range of people. Those that had young families when the decree came for them to return to Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple, rebuild the city, those with young families wouldn't have dared to make that dangerous journey and putting their children's life at risk. Those very old would not have made this journey because they would have known that they would have been physically unable. So at this time, these words are coming to a community that is very narrow in its age range. And so we're going to see here the first mark of a community that has been restored and redeemed by God is that community is a multi-generational community. Secondly, we see that this type of restored and redeemed community, rather than requiring passivity on the part of the people of God, requires action. It is an active community. Secondly, it is a blessing community. It is a community that seeks to bless others. And finally, we realize that it is a community that reaches out to others. It's not an isolated, exclusionary community. It is a community that has its eyes and its understanding that its purpose is to reach out to those who do not know the Lord. So first, let us consider the nature of the community is a multi-generational community. At this time, the word is coming to a group of people that by and large aren't multi-generational. And God is promising a peace that they have not known in the 70 years of captivity. The Lord is making it clear. He has returned to his community. He has restored them into right relationship with him, and that they will be known as a faithful community. And he gives the first sign of this, verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with staff in hand because of great age. What a blessing it is to live in a community where you can grow old. What a blessing it is to live in a community where when you're slowed by age, you can feel safe in the streets. The people that had remained in Jerusalem, those that did not go off into captivity, they didn't know the safety and comfort. Roving bands roamed the streets. Going into captivity, chariots of their enemies would run through the streets, attacking who they would. And the Lord is promising that there's going to be a peace that allows for growing old. In many communities and many churches, in our own contemporary context in America, we have missed what it means to be a multi-generational community. I know there are some church planters that their idea is that they're going to plant a church and it's going to be for the young crowd. They only want, 30 and under in the church because they don't want to accommodate. And the opposite is sometimes true. There are churches that market themselves as retirement churches. There are communities that market themselves as retirement communities. But the Lord, when he is telling his people that he's returned to them, and he gives the sign, he is showing that there is a safety and a peace there, that men and women can actually grow old and feel safe in their community. Where Zechariah is speaking at a time where old men and old women had not known that safety, where they would have been a fear of their lives to go out into the streets. The Lord is saying that a time is coming when old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, sharing their wisdom and being a testimony to the safety, security, and peace that the Lord is sowing in the community. Then he goes on, not only do you have those of great age, which is a sign of an accumulation of wisdom and proof of peace, he goes on, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. He's speaking at a time where Zechariah is speaking to people that can relate with what we are experiencing in our own day and age. You can't watch the news, you can't pull up the news on the internet and think that the streets are a safe place for children to play in. Even our own front yards and backyards, if we watch the news, we feel them increasingly unsafe places. We think of the little girl that was abducted shortly after getting off her school bus, playing in her front yard, only to be found dead. Zechariah's community understood the dangers that they lived in, that theirs was not a safe place where you would hear the laughter and sound of children. The sound of children, seeing children running around playing, rather than being a nuisance to us and a disruption to our peace and quiet. When we have those times where children can go out and play safely, or children can run around and be rambunctious in the church, we should see that as a sign of God's blessing. The Lord constantly reminds his people in the Old Testament that children are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a blessing, and what a greater blessing for a community than to see its children laughing and filled with joy. And this promise isn't written with the economist view that children are just a future marketplace, but they are a sign of present blessing. When the Lord blesses a community, when the Lord blesses a church, that church is going to be a multi-generational community. It's going to have the wisdom and insight that old age brings. We live in a society that looks down upon old age, where growing old doesn't seem all that attractive. Lord, it makes it clear that it is a blessing to have those growing older. The Proverbs tell us that gray hair is actually a crown of honor, that it signifies wisdom accumulated. And the Lord is saying that there is going to be a time when his people have the blessing of both the wisdom of age and the blessing of the mirth and joy that come from having children in it. How does this play out for the church today? Far too often, I have seen played out in churches' advertisement and how they present themselves. Either they are churches that don't want the old, or they are churches that don't want the young. There are churches that market themselves as being the church for the retired crowd. I'll tell you, there aren't many retired 8, 9, 10-year-olds. There aren't many retired parents of 8, 9, 10-year-olds. We see this in communities. For the longest time in human history, the generations lived together. And now we live in a time where generations have increasingly come apart. Community planners plan out communities for young families. Community planners plan out retirement communities for the more advanced in years so that there doesn't have to be the interaction, so that the older retired crowd don't have to hear the noise of children playing in the streets. My last church, the only time I ever spoke to my neighbor was just when we were moving, even though I had waved to him, said hi to him, and never got an interaction. But from everything I heard about him, he had moved to that part of town for the sheer fact that there were no children. And then the church kept calling pastors with children into the parsonage. And I had it on good authority that he did not like my predecessor because his children would be loud playing in the neighborhood. You know, when we see children playing in the pews, running around, rather than thinking that as a disruption to our peace, we should be thinking that is a sign of God's blessing of peace. You know, it's a blessing that we have children in the church this morning. It's a blessing that we have people working with those children. It's a blessing that we have those with more wisdom, like our Jubilee group that'll be going out. That is a sign of God's favor. And he continues on, verse and this is a tough thing for God's people to imagine, because they have lived outside of God's blessing for so long. For 70 years, they've really been outside of God's blessing. And so God challenges their unbelief. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the sight of the remnant of this people in those days, should it be marvelous in my sight, declares the Lord of hosts. The Lord is already anticipating those hearing, thinking, ha, it's never going to be safe enough to be out in the streets. It's never going to be safe enough to grow old. It's never going to be safe enough to have children here. The Lord's saying, what might be marvelous to you is not marvelous for me, because I am the all-powerful God. I am the one who put your fathers here in the first place. And I will do this. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west, and I will bring them to dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in faithfulness and righteousness. Lord is saying that this isn't going to be something marvelously impossible for him. It is within his omnipotent power. And he speaks to the fact that this is going to be an active community. The Lord's blessing of his people isn't a call to passivity. The Lord telling his people that he's going to be his people, that they're going to be his people, he is going to be their God, that he is going to rule over them with faithfulness and righteousness, is not a call for them to sit back and do nothing. The fact that the Lord is going to work in their midst is a call for activity. A community that has been restored and redeemed by God is going to be a community of active people, active about doing what the Lord has called them to do. Rather than sitting back and waiting for God to do something, God says in verse 9, thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong. Let your hands be strong, because there is a work for them to do. God is going to work through them, but God is not going to work in spite of them. Let your hands be strong, you who in these days have been hearing these words from the mouth of the prophets who are present on the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. And he speaks to the hardship that they have endured. He says, for before those days, there was no wage for man, or any wage for beast, neither was there any safety from foe for him who went out or came in. The Lord is saying, you have known great hardship, but I'm going to bring great blessing in your generation, and that generation, that blessing is calling for your activity. He is pointing out that in their own time, they have seen an increase in God's blessing. They have seen an increase in safety and protection. He goes on, but now I will not deal with the remnant of this people as in the former days, declares the Lord of hosts. Verse 12, for there shall be a sowing of peace. They're going to know peace. They're going to know safety. They're going to know security. They're going to know comfort. They're going to know that they don't have to look over their shoulder for a bandit looking to rob them when they're coming out of the doors of their house. Goes on. But now, for there shall be a sowing of peace, the vine shall give its fruit, and the ground shall give its produce, and the heavens shall give their dew, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And as you have been a byword of cursing among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. Again, he is telling them that it's going to require activity upon their part, that God is going to work in and through them, not despite of them, that this blessing of a restored and redeemed community is going to require activity on their part, but it is also going to require them to be a blessing community. God isn't simply saying, I'm going to bless you so that all this blessing can land upon you and you'll keep this blessing to yourself. But he says, so I will save you and you shall be a blessing. Any blessing that God's people enjoy, any blessing that you enjoy today is so that you would be a blessing to others. That is how God operates. God singles out Abraham and tells him that he is going to bless him and he is going to make a blessing of him. In Psalm 64, the psalmist prays that the Lord would bless his people so that they would be a blessing to the others, so that the nations who have not heard the name of God would come and worship him. And so the Lord describes what it means for the Lord's people to be a blessing to one another in verse 14. For thus says the Lord of hosts, as I propose to bring disaster to you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, and I did not relent, says the Lord of hosts, so again I propose in these days to bring good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear not. These are the things that you shall do. This is what it looks like to be a blessing to others. Speak the truth to one another. Everywhere in the Bible, we see this strong encouragement that we're to speak the truth to one another. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:15, we are to speak the truth to one another in love, so that we are all built up into Christ, who is the head, who strengthens the body. Speak the truth. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. Basically, be loving and truthful in your dealings with others. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another, and love no false oath. For all these things, declares the Lord. The Lord is telling his people that in order to be a blessing to others, they have to have an understanding that they are to strive for peace. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, tells us that blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be children of God. And God is telling his people that if they're to be a blessing to one another, they're to have their lives built on the foundation of truth, that they're to speak the truth to one another. They're supposed to speak the truth in such a way that their words bring about peace rather than seeking how they can use one another. And if we are to be a blessing to others, we are to speak the truth, and we have no other truth than the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and life. And none may come to the Father except through him. If we are to be people of truth in our community, we must be people who speak the truth of the gospel with those that we come across. When we fail to share the gospel, when we fail to share the good news of Jesus Christ, when we fail to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ with the truth of the gospel, when we fail to share the gospel with those that do not have hope, we are not being people of the truth. The truth is rooted in the person of Jesus Christ, who is the truth. The truth is anchored in the reality of the gospel. And when we fail to speak the truth, we are doing a horribly hateful thing. Second greatest commandment is that we shall love our neighbor as ourselves. If we truly love our neighbor as ourselves, if we truly love those who have not heard the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, then we will share it with them if we actually love them. Several years ago, there was a YouTube video making the rounds by the magician Penn Jillette about how one of his fans gave him a Gideon's Bible. And Penn Jillette is a noted agnostic. Really doesn't have much to do with religion, especially Christianity. And he was going on about how impacted he was by that, because if this fan actually believes what the Bible teaches and he actually loves Penn Jillette's soul, then he could do no other than to give the word to him. What Penn Jillette said that was offensive would be for someone to say that Christ is the only hope, Christ is the only way to avoid a Christless eternity in hell, and not to say anything, because that would be the most unloving thing a person can do. And I'll tell you, it's the most untruthful thing that you can do. If you're not sharing the gospel as the Lord gives you opportunity, you are not speaking the truth. You are telling a lie in your silence, in your inaction. So we're to be a people that bless others through being a people of the truth. And that isn't going to be through our accommodating the truth to culture. We will not twist and misshape the truth to fit the demands of our culture. We live in a time where the truth is offensive. Where if you were being considered for a political office or a political position in the public sector, and you were asked whether you believed that Christ was the only way to salvation, and you said it was, you'd probably be considered disqualified because of your quote-unquote exclusionist views. But we aren't exclusionist in our views. We are the welcoming community because we believe that any man, woman, or child that places their faith in Christ Jesus will be welcomed to him. It's where we see in verses 18 and following that redeemed and restored community is a welcoming community. Verse 18, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth month, and the fast of the seventh month, and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah seasons of joy and gladness and cheerful feast." This goes back to chapter 7 when they asked about their fast, whether they should keep fasting to mourn. And the Lord pointed out that their religion, their fasting, they were fasting for themselves. They weren't fasting out of a desire to have a relationship with God. But God is saying because they are redeemed, they are going to be filled with joy. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. Verse 20, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come, even inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I myself am going. Many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem." This restored and redeemed community is going to be such a community that those who have not known the truth, those outside of the community of faith, are going to be warmly welcomed so that they can hear the truth, so that they can know the Lord. many peoples and strong nations. This is a reference to the Gentiles around them shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of the Lord. And the Lord's people are going to welcome it. It's not going to be like during Acts where they had the inkling that Paul had Gentiles with them at the temple and sought to kill Paul because of it, even though they weren't in the temple courts. Those days, 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold the robe of a Jew, saying, "Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." This restored and redeemed community doesn't say to those that want to know the Lord, "Sorry, tough, it's us four and no more. We don't want you coming to know the God of Israel. We don't want you to know the favor of the Lord." It's clear that they welcome those who have not heard hearing. The same is true today when we see those that aren't like us, outside of our community of faith. We welcome them hearing the gospel. We don't think, "Well, you're not like us, so we don't want you hearing it." Redeemed and restored community rejoices when those who are far off are brought near. When those who haven't heard see the Lord's blessing of his community and desire to know God himself. What a blessing that would be if the community of Harrodsburg, the community of Mercer County, looked at our lives, looked at our community of faith, saw the blessing of God, and came saying, "We want to know this blessing. We want to know this Christ. We want to know the one that has made your community so different." And they'll never do it if we're exactly like them. Unless the blessing of God is seen in us individually and corporately, they're never going to ask, "Who is the Lord? How can we know him?" Nobody is ever going to ask for the reason for the hope that you have in Christ Jesus if you're not living out of that hope. Nobody's going to ask how God has brought peace in your relationships, peace in your life, and how you have come to know and love truth and peace if you are not a person of truth and peace. And those things are seen in how we deal with different generations. As I've said, a restored and redeemed community is a multi-generational one. We don't look down upon people based upon their age. We don't look down upon children as an inconvenience to our communities, to our church. We consider them a blessing. We don't look down upon old men and old women as slowing down our pace of life. We recognize them as a blessing of the Lord and a demonstration of his peace and his favor and a source of accumulated wisdom. We don't take the blessing of the Lord as grounds for our inactivity. We understand that if we want the Lord to bless our church, to bless our community, that is going to require work upon our parts as we seek to be a blessing to the community, as we seek to share the truth of the gospel, and as we welcome those who are far off as they come near to hear the word of truth. Because that's what Jesus has done for us. When we were far off, we have been brought near through the shed blood of Christ, as Paul bears witness in the text, Ephesians. When we were without hope and without God in the world, he has brought us near. This promise in Zechariah is concerning us because we have come to know the Lord through the Jewish man, Jesus Christ, the God-man, Jesus Christ. We should welcome those who are far off hearing. And we should go off to those who have not heard and speak the truth of the gospel. And I ask you this morning, do you know the truth? Does the truth find a place in your heart that you love the truth of God? The peace of God has come into your lives. I tell you, if the peace of the Lord has not come into your lives, if you give your life to him this morning, He will give you His peace. You'll have peace with God through Jesus Christ if you accept His truth, the truth of His gospel, that you are a sinner and that Christ is your only Savior. If you're a believer in Christ, the invitation for you is to live out individually, and for us corporately, to live out corporately when we leave the walls of this building, so that we live such a lives that people see our commitment to truth and our desire for peace and our love for one another. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we thank You for this word, and as we come to this time of invitation, I pray that if there are any who do not know the salvation that is found in Christ, that they would give their lives to Him. And for those of us who know this hope, I pray that we would walk in light of it, that we would walk as peacemakers, that we would walk as truth tellers, welcoming those who are far off from You to hear and receive Christ. For this we pray in His holy and precious name. Amen.